The script reads Luke 24, 1 through 7. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."
Boy, that's a very appropriate scripture for the time of the year and stuff like that. Ken, thank you for that. Now I'm gonna turn it over to Donovan now.
Good morning, happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
As you can tell, I'm not Ezra. No. But he was kind enough to give me a whole week's notice. He texted me last Sunday and said he had a visitor from MAU, Mid-America Union, for his church this week, so he couldn't come. He wanted me to schedule him on the 18th, so he'll be here in 2 weeks. This is Passover season, not really Easter, in the United States, and in later years we have Easter, but it's, if you study it out, it's a pagan holiday. I don't like to participate in the Easter stuff. It's Passover, it's a Passover season. And they celebrated Passover for why? To look forward to Jesus Christ. And he came to die and be raised again on the third day, so that all the sacrifices that they did throughout the years in the Passover season would be done. It's done and over with. So you know, the resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our hope. Paul wrote, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain." So he is raised, 1 Corinthians 15:17. So the resurrection is very important. It is a historical fact. Jesus did rise. He is risen. If you want to get some scientific research for that, earlier this century, a study was done by a group of lawyers in England. And the resurrection and the legal ramifications of it, and whether or not you could prove it in a court of law. And after much research, they concluded that the resurrection of Christ is one of the most well-established and well-documented facts of history. A lot of the historians allude to it of the early centuries. And another thing, if you go to Confucius's tomb, it's occupied. If you go to Buddha's mausoleum, it is occupied. If you go to Muhammad's ziggurat, or wherever he's buried, it's occupied. If you go to the Pharaoh's pyramid, it's occupied except for the grave robbers and looters. If you go to Westminster Abbey, the bones of those famous people are still there. But I want you to know that if you go to Jesus' tomb today, it's empty.
Amen.
Praise God for the empty tomb. The tomb of my Savior is not famous because it's fancy. It's not famous because it's big. It's famous because it's empty. And I'm thrilled that it's empty. I want to talk to you a little bit about the resurrection, the death, and the burial of our Savior. Go over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 39. John chapter 19, verse 39. He, Joseph of Arimathea, was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. That's a lot of pounds. Where he got that just before sundown, I don't know. But praise God for Joseph of Arimathea, who lived just 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem, and praise God for Nicodemus. Jesus' own personal friends were financially unable to care for him at the time of his death. He would have had to be buried in a tomb that was provided by the Roman government for people that were executed. Fortunately, he didn't have to do that. Just before sundown, these two secret followers of Jesus, they were Pharisees, two men of means stepped out of the shadows, and they cared for Jesus. Joseph was one of these types that purchased their cemetery lot before they die. Have you done that? I haven't done it yet. I don't think I'm going to do it. But he was one of those types who had already had the thing purchased and maybe decorated. I don't know what all they do. Some people even go and decorate their own grave on Memorial Day. But he had the tomb ready, and his brand new tomb became the final resting place for Jesus. It wasn't final. Where is Jesus' final resting place? It's the new earth, right here. Nicodemus brought enough costly ointments to satisfy and bury a king. And these two, like so many, were there. They came and gave their tributes, like many people do today, even after a person has died. I don't know why we wait so long. One dandelion given while a person is alive is worth more than a whole heaped up load of expensive flowers after that person dies. And yet they didn't do it until he died. John 19:40, the next verse, says, taking Jesus' body, the two men wrapped it with spices in the shroud of Turin. Is that what it says? They wrapped it in strips of linen. There was no big garment here. Jesus' seamless garment had been gambled among the soldiers. He was wrapped in strips of linen by Nicodemus and Joseph. This was in accordance with the burial customs of the Jews. Somebody had to step in and help because the disciples were gone. And where were the women? They had followed so close, and yet they weren't there either somehow. But the power of Jesus' death brought these two hidden disciples out of the woodwork, Joseph and Nicodemus. They filled the desperate need just in the nick of time. John 19:41, at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. Did you ever want to be buried near a garden? Well, there was a garden there, and the garden had a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. That was the tomb of Joseph. This tomb is near a beautiful garden. It is on a lower level, and if you know good gardens, they're at the bottom land, and that's where this is. HMS Richard Sr., the founder of the Voice of Prophecy of radio fame, studied the location of that tomb, and he believed that that is the exact location of Jesus' tomb. It's a beautiful place. It's called the Garden Tomb. The tomb was rediscovered in 1885. It had been buried for centuries. They had dug down through 20 feet of rubble and found it. And there it is on the original soil. It's amazing. And it's only a few hundred feet from Calvary. John 19:42 says, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So the tomb was near the cross. And that's where this one is. Archaeologists discovered that spot, and they went to the tomb, and they scraped all the dust and all the fragments, anything and everything. They swept it and vacuumed it and got all the articles that they could out of the tomb and sent it off to British Scientific Research Institute. And there they examined these remains, and there's not one trace of human remains. Amen. So apparently Jesus was the very first person that was buried in that tomb and the last person that was buried in that tomb. It was never used again. Joseph of Arimathea had to go out and get another tomb for himself. He didn't want to be buried in the same tomb where his Savior was, apparently. That's amazing. The resurrection of Jesus is a reality. You can depend on it. If he did not rise from the dead, that is our hope for rising from the dead ourselves. It isn't there. because he rose and he will rise. We will rise. In fact, it's a fact and not a fabrication. Now, of course, the worst day in the world of the Pharisees was Resurrection Sunday. They couldn't have had a worse day. All their efforts were in vain. They had made sure that the Roman guards had stayed there and guarded his tomb for the last 3 days and three nights. Lo and behold, the disciples were out preaching that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, you know, the Pharisees could have stopped that. The disciples were out there preaching the resurrection, and the people were beginning to believe. Christianity was taking off. All the Pharisees had to do was to produce the dead corpse of Jesus and say, look, here he is. And it would have stopped Christianity, nipped it in the bud. It would have died on the vine. But they didn't do it because they couldn't do it. They could not produce Jesus' body because he was alive again. He is alive today. And the disciples were allowed to preach the resurrection from a place of the tomb. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen. We serve a risen Savior, and because he is risen as the first fruit, we have hope that we will rise also. We have a risen Savior, and because Jesus, the grave is not the final resting place, it's not a blind alley, the grave is a thoroughfare. It's not a dead end, a hole in the ground. It's something that you go through, and on the other side, you will find eternal life. Every grave of every Christian will be exhumed. And I suppose Satan calls Jesus a grave robber. Jesus will take the Christians home. Imagine getting the good news from the cemetery. That's exactly what these women did. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1 through 7 that was read of our scripture reading. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in the clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he had told all of these you while he was still alive with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." The woman came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. Have you ever walked through a graveyard? That's exactly what this was. Do you ever get hope from a graveyard? I walked through some graveyards, sometimes on Sabbath afternoons. And as I walk through a cemetery, I look at the dates on some of the tombstones. Some of them lived a very short life. Some lived a long life, but not much of a life. Some of them have been buried for 100 or 200 years. On others, the grass is barely getting started. But all of those tombstones of Christians will have the same date on them, the date of the resurrection. The date will be in common. If I don't live until Jesus comes, I want to be raised. So can we find hope in the graveyard? Yes. Yes, we can, because Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Life became the Lord of death. Jesus found a way out of that sepulcher. And no longer would that granite tombstone be like a stop sign or a dead end sign. It was a thoroughfare. Jesus paid the price. How many times have we gone out and buried a loved one? You've done that. You've been to funerals. We've placed our frayed clay, the remnants of those who have died within the soil, much like you're doing in your gardens right now, planting those seeds that in that cold soil with the sure hope that someday something will happen. And if we can keep this frost away long enough, maybe our gardens will come up. So have faith in Jesus. He is alive forevermore. He has the keys of death and the grave, and he is your friend. Praise God that our friend has the keys and he's willing to open it up for us as well. Now, the devil must have been very upset because the Roman guards weren't the only ones guarding that tomb, were they? The devil probably had a contingent of his own soldiers there. They were also guarding the tomb. And from what we can read in the Desire of Ages, we're told that they were told by the devil himself, don't you allow anything to come out of that tomb. If he comes out, we're done. And they did allow it. In fact, when the angel from heaven came down, the evil angels just disappeared like fog in the sunshine. They evaporated into the woodwork. The evil angels fled at the arrival of one heavenly angel. Satan saw this with his own eyes, the risen Savior, and knew he was doomed forevermore. In the 18th century, United States Congress published a commemorative edition of Thomas Jefferson's own personal Bible. Thomas Jefferson removed from his Bible any and all references to the supernatural. Did you know that? I have some of those writings in my library at home. So as you go through the Bible, you read here in the New Testament, the closing words of Thomas Jefferson's Bible are these. They are, there they laid Jesus and rolled a great stone at the mouth of the sepulcher and departed. And that's the end of his Bible. I want to tell you today, that's not the end of the story. The story goes on. Jesus rose from that tomb. John 20 and verse 1, early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now it was dark, and you can't see well in the dark, but at least she could see that the stone is gone. The stone had been rolled away, and it's open. She didn't want to go in. She just knew that the stone was gone, and it was still dark. Now, shame on the human race. We were largely absent at the birth of our Savior. We were absent and largely accounted for at the resurrection of our Savior. We missed both of the most important events of Christianity. We weren't there. The only people there at his resurrection were the Roman guards, as far as human beings go. We were absent. And when I tell you today that the greatest discovery of the world was not the steam engine, it's not electricity, it's not the McCormick and his Reaper, and it's not the Pentium chip, that was back in my time, and today it's not AI. The greatest discovery in the world was discovered by these ladies, and that is that the tomb was empty. There can't be a greater discovery than that, in my opinion. I believe that rather than the cross being the symbol of Christianity, it ought to be that empty tomb. That's the true symbol. Unless he arose from that tomb, that's the end. And obviously, this resurrection on that Sunday morning was not planned by a committee. Let's suppose that the resurrection tomorrow morning, April 5th, 2026, let's suppose that when the resurrection was going to be, and we knew it, and we believed it, if that's the case, then there would probably be a committee for arrangements. We'd have a whole list of dignitaries invited. There would be a lot of people going to be there. Outside the tomb, there would be people sleeping all night in sleeping bags, waiting for the arrival of that angel. There would be television cameras and the media massive lights set up, all the motel rooms taken, bleachers constructed, ropes and crowd control, a real Easter sunrise. And the Sadducees especially would be invited so they could see the real thing. Here is a resurrection. You're never going to doubt this again. And rescue team would be there, EMTs, bands, people, great choirs ready to sing, disciples on the front row, dark glasses for the arrival of the angel. Have all been planned, a changing room for Jesus to slip into some fresh things. A reception line with Mary at the head of the line. And maybe Easter lilies laid down by Lazarus, the widow of Nan and her son and the daughter of Jairus that was raised. They could do quite a job of planning. But that didn't happen. What did the guards see? Did they see anything? When the angel came, they were struck down as dead men. Did they see anything? Yes, they did. They were not struck down immediately. You can read this in Desire of Ages on page 781. They saw the angel. They watched as the stone was rolled away, and they saw the Savior come out, and they recognized him. They knew that he was the one that they had taken care of by weaving the crown of thorns and putting it on his head. He's the one, and he's here. He's alive. They knew beyond a doubt. They were the eyewitnesses. They had hung him on the cross. They had hammered those nails and they saw him. And when he was glorified, they fainted. After the light faded and the angel and Jesus were gone, they came to and they awoke as believers. Did they believe at first? Yes, they did. And what did they do? They went and they told everybody throughout the city, "He is risen. We saw him with our own eyes. He's alive." And they started spreading the story throughout Jerusalem until word got to the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, "We want to talk with you for a second." And the Pharisees, with large amounts of money, we were told in Matthew, bribed them. Their mouth was plugged by great money. They sold their integrity. John 20 and verse 1. Early that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, let's focus on Mary for just a bit. You know that the death started with the disobedience of a woman in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? And now it's natural that another garden, another woman, is the very first to hear the great news. The great announcement that death has been conquered. Two women removed by several thousand years. Jesus conquered death. He conquered it for you and he conquered it for me. Death was doomed. Matthew 28 explains how this startling event happened. Matthew 28, verse 1 and 2. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. In fact, there was an earthquake when Jesus died, and another when he rose. I like it, where he sits on the throne, on the stone. Mark says the angel was young. Young, I didn't know we had. Mark 16, verse 5. Didn't you know that? A young angel, aren't they all young? Now this contributes to our scantily knowledge about heaven. Our knowledge is limited, but where God lives, there is no aging. Everybody up in heaven is young. They're fit, they're trim, they're healthy, they're young. I'll be glad to be young again. And this angel came and we found him in the tomb. Angels are tomb finders. They know how to find the tomb of those who are to experience the resurrection. There's no visual mark on the tombstones of Christians. Is there some special mark on there? How do they find those tombs? Well, they guard that spot. They marked that spot somehow. We are told it's a spot where the righteous are laid to rest, are marked by the angels of heaven. I don't know what kind of mark it is, but when the heavenly angels view the burial grounds, they see somehow, maybe they see some bright, shimmering, shiny strobe light coming up. That's where I'm supposed to be. They had no trouble finding Jesus' tomb, and they will have no trouble finding the tomb of those who died as Christians in love with the Lord. I want to close by telling you a story that probably many of you have heard many times before. It's such a beautiful story. I hope I can get through it. I just have to tell it today. Miss Jones taught a special education in an elementary school. In this school, everybody was mentally challenged. As she taught the class, it was Easter time, so she instructed the class, "When you come to school tomorrow, please bring with you one of these plastic Easter eggs. Putting something inside of it that you is very important and speaks of Easter. Bring it to school. We're going to have each one of you open your egg the next day." She called the name of each child, and the child would come forward and place their little plastic egg on the teacher's desk. The teacher would have them open it to see what was inside. There was a candy heart in one, chocolate chicken or something in another. Finally, it was Jeremy's turn. Now, Jeremy was the worst of the 20 students. He was the most disturbed. She called his name, and he slowly came to her desk with his egg. "Go ahead and open your egg," she said. With a big smile, Jeremy opened his egg, and it revealed nothing. "But Jeremy, your egg's empty. You were supposed to put something in there." "I know," he said with a smile. "But Jesus' tomb is empty too." And the teacher was silenced. Jeremy died 3 months later. His little life came to an end. And on top of his little casket, as a testimony to his faith in the empty tomb, were 19 plastic eggs. Every one of them empty, indicating the faith of an empty tomb. I want to tell you that that's how you can be saved. Have faith in the risen Savior. Jesus is alive. Have faith in Jesus. The tomb is empty. He went through a lot for you and for me. If you will just accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven. It's a fact. I urge you today on this special weekend to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Recommit your whole life to him. Please do that. He would empty heaven to save you. He emptied his life to save you. You are worth saving. He loves you. And I urge you today to give your life to him. Amen.